The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
On the Vox Markets Podcast today, we have Jao from Wide Sells. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi, good morning.
Are you keeping well?
Yes, very good. And you?
Very well indeed. Very interesting RNS out this morning. But before we get into that, can you tell me a little bit about what Wide Sells do?
Yes. So Wide Sells, we are a worldwide provider of stem cell services. We have established three synergistic business divisions. So one of them is Cell Plan, and Cell Plan is the world's first stem cell insurance plan to cover the costs associated with stem cell treatment. This is relevant for families that have stored their baby's umbilical cord blood stem cells, which are collected when the baby is born, and that can be used to treat more than 80 blood diseases and disorders. So currently there's more than 4 million people all over the world that have paid around £2,000 to freeze their baby's umbilical cord blood stem cells for periods of up to 30 years. But they are mainly uninsured. They do not have an insurance or appropriate coverage for stem cell treatments. And we now have a product that we can deploy on a global scale to resolve this global problem and turn it into a business opportunity.
Actually, Jao, I have personal experience of this because when my son was born 7 years ago, the hospital advised us about this newfangled stem cell freezing system, which we did, and his cells have been, or the umbilical cord was frozen for 25 years. But we had actually nobody told us anything about the fact that, you know, we assumed that was it. We didn't realize we'd have to pay more money. I mean, let's say, for instance, we did want to use his cells, God forbid, for some reason. What are we talking? Well, why do I need insurance? Isn't it sort of done anyway once I've frozen the cells?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. And first and foremost, it was a wise decision in our opinion, for you to have stored your baby's umbilical cord blood stem cells. Now, the question is that we need to understand first, the nature of the stem cell industry is that stem cell treatments are spread all across the world. Now, if they are spread all across the world and they are more concentrated, for example, in the U.S. or imagine there's a cell therapy available in Japan, and looking into today but also looking into the future, if you want to access those technologies, the resource, and you've paid to store the stem cells in the first place to be able to access these treatments in the future, you will need an appropriate insurance coverage that will enable you to receive treatments even outside the U.K.,
okay.
Now, that's the first point. The second one is, how do you know what treatments are available? Who are the medical teams and where are the treatment centers? It's a service that did not exist. So within our insurance policy Cell Plan, we have an expert medical opinion and a medical concierge service where we provide the right diagnosis and treatment plan and the selection of treatment centers where you can access treatment. And when we organize travel accommodation, the hospital admission process, visa arrangements, transportation of the sample, we take care of all that process so that the patient only focus on getting well. So we're resolving a problem on accessibility, but also making it affordable because the treatment may cost up to £300,000.
Oh, wow.
Treatments are very expensive treatments.
Well, that's something that we never considered when, we've just had a baby child, so the joy of the child was sort of first and foremost in our minds. And when they turned around and said, you know, I think it was about £1,500, I think we paid to have them frozen for 25 years. And I kind of thought or assumed at that point that was it. That was, you know, and on the NHS or whatever, would, you know, if we needed them, they could just tap into them and fix it. I didn't realize we could be faced with a £300,000 bill. So that's quite concerning, very concerning.
Yes.
So, okay. So so is it just the insurance or is there anything else that you guys can offer?
Well, we have an end-to-end services solution. So mm-hmm. we provide education and training courseware for medical professionals so that they can understand stem cell technology and then recommend stem cell storage and stem cell treatment to their patients. Now, we also have specific courseware for insurance companies and insurance brokers, because there's an assumption if they are going to promote or sell an insurance policy to you that has to do with stem cell technology, that they understand the technology first so they can provide you with the right advice. And then we have courseware and free-to-air content to the general population as well, so they in a digestible format so that they can immediately understand the benefits and then make an informed decision. Now, an interesting point is expecting parents, when they are talking to their obstetrician, for example, and asking them, should we or should we not store our baby's umbilical cord blood stem cells? The obstetrician is not involved in stem cell treatment. So in principle, it will not be the right person to ask. However, that's the doctor that most families will end up asking the question. So for us, it's very important to educate them so they understand what are the treatments, where are they performed, what are the success rates, what is the next generation of stem cell technology, what can we expect in the future, so they can recommend the service to patients. And this, we believe, increases the uptake for stem cell storage. Plus, having an insurance that removes the financial barriers associated with treatment, and that helps to point patients in the right direction. Now, with all of that being said, we've also established our own laboratory facility in the University of Manchester Innovation Center to be able to process and store stem cells from umbilical cord blood and umbilical cord tissue, which contains different types of stem cells for different treatments, also from baby teeth and from adipose tissue following a liposuction procedure. So we are also starting to offer these services next year to adults, not just to newborns. Now, coming back just on the concept of storing stem cells from a baby's umbilical cord blood, it's really more of a family policy, because stem cells from the baby can be used to treat siblings and parents as well. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very the odds of finding a match within the nuclear family circle are much higher than having to count on finding a matching donor for a bone marrow transplant, for example, which is a stem cell transplant and competes with cord bloods. But there you need a perfect match. Whilst umbilical cord blood, you only need 25 to 50% match. And that's normally what you find between family members of the nuclear family circle.
Okay. So that's fascinating. I've actually learned a lot this morning that I didn't realize, and I wish we'd have been advised like that. Far more of a complex subject than simply having them frozen and worry about it when something happens or goes wrong. So let's get on and talk about this RNS this morning. I see from reading through some of the, you've had a lot of new members join the board. Talk me through that thinking, and what do they actually bring to the party?
Well, first we have our former chairman, Graham Hind, that is stepping down now from his chairman position. Graham has helped us to complete the IPO, and in the first 18 months of the company development, so we start to generate the first revenues, which started happening 3 months ago. And Graham is mostly focused on very early stage companies and getting us sort of to the stage that we are now. But looking into the future, a company that is now starting to generate revenues, expecting strong revenue streams next year from different geographical locations, and being a growth company, we need more experienced boards on running public listed companies. And that's exactly what Peter Preslin, our new chairman, brings to our boards, and also a lot of expertise in the insurance industry, because he was both CFO first and then CEO of one of the largest insurance brokers at the time in the UK with global operations, a company called Heath PLC. So he has a lot of experience and skills within the insurance industry. And then he has been chairman of the Audit and Risk Committee, public listed companies, blue chip companies, over since he left Heath. and he brings that all that expertise to our boards, and obviously helping us to engage in the correct way with the investment community and driving the boards and the company to the next stage of development. We also have Malcolm Glasser joining us as non-executive director. Malcolm is the CEO of the Agri Technology Fund and Farm Street in London. So basically, Malcolm is going to help us to heighten our profile in the future within the investor community. Then Zakaria Aziz is a very successful entrepreneur in the Middle East and Asia. He started a very large company called Ray International Group that has thousands of employees now and hundreds of millions in revenue. And he started it 12 years ago, so it's really one of those big success stories. He's also involved with some investment funds in the US, in the UK, and also in the Middle East and Asia. And he will mainly be helping us to drive the company within the Middle East and Asia throughout his relationships, his experience, and helping to advise the boards on the right decisions moving forward. Now, the other change we had in our board is we have Alan Greenberg, which is a non-executive director and senior vice president of our education and training division, White Academy. He is the former director of Apple Education, so very high profile individual. Now, he is coming on board as full time and taking on and becoming an executive director, because we are driving revenues through White Academy, as we have announced last month. And there's a lot of programs for next year that can continue to support revenue generation and also for the following 2 years. So he's now focused on getting our platform live, on getting the right team together and doing geographical expansion. He's taking on also the role of Chief Business Development Officer. He's been involved in most of the conversations with the big contracts we have been signing over the past few months. He's been involved with me. And so he'll spend 20% of his time working alongside me in new opportunities and helping to close big contracts, and 80% of his time driving the education and training division. So it's big changes for our boards. Mainly, we were looking strengthening the boards and preparing the company for the next stage of development, and bringing more experience with public listed companies as well to our board.
Okay. You've also mentioned here, I mean, about the new scientific board. Talk me through that, because there's sort of red flags a bit to me that, you know, you've got all these different boards. I mean, it sounds like an expensive exercise. What's the thinking behind it? Well, why do you need a scientific board on top of the board you've already got?
Well, first, if you run a comparison between the cost of our boards and other companies our size and at least underneath 50 million market cap, you'll be surprised, because our boards is on boards really to drive the company towards success. And everyone is now just focused on making that happen before anything else. So that's a very positive point when you look into the detail. Now, more important than that, and cost, this is actually an investment as well, because bear in mind two things. One, if we have the right profile, the right experience, we can drive company towards success in much better conditions. And if we have experienced directors we involve with public listed companies, with institutional investors and high profile investors, and that can help on the executive director side to drive business and close deals that generate revenue and profit for the future. Now, that's a very important point. And also managing the teams that are working in the different divisions and being led by executive directors. So that's critical to ensure a company's success, not just looking at its costs. Now, being a growth company, we look into opportunities for the future. So how can an investor, for example, be sure that we are making the right decisions on the technology side when all of them are being made almost by the board and the scientific departments, alone being led by one executive director? So I think that adding a sort of independent advice to the mix is important. So the scientific advisory committee is composed of renowned stem cell specialists that are going to look into areas that we want to develop in the future and opportunities that we want to get involved in the future as well, to sort of give an independent advice to the board so the board can make the right decisions and then move forward with these opportunities in the future. So that's the main point of the Scientific Advisory Committee. It's looking into the right opportunities because we have too many at the moment and we should only choose for the right ones.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. Well, listen, it's obviously been a big year for you the last 12 months. What can shareholders and people who follow Widecells expect to hear from you in the coming 12 months?
Well, the past 18 months have been mainly focused on developing, finishing the product development, launching the products, and starting to generate revenues. And now at the end of this year, strengthening the boards, getting new advisors, restructuring our committee, and getting everything lined up for 2018. Now, 2018 is a completely new cycle because the main focus is revenue generation and geographical expansion. So next year is all about growth and revenue. That's the main focus. 2019 will then all be about optimization, what products are having better results, how do we optimize processes and procedures, where which markets should we focus on invest more. So the growth year and the most exciting year, I believe, in our history is going to be 2018. So I'm really looking forward for that year. And the whole team is very excited about the challenges ahead.
That's fascinating. Well, whenever anyone's on the Vox Market podcast, we ask them for three bullet points as to why people should add Widecells to their Vox Markets watch list. So give me your three reasons.
Well, first, we are a very innovative company and the first one in the world to have built a complete end-to-end services solution to make stem cell treatments accessible and affordable. We have a world-class team to execute the business plan. And the third reason is we are not really a technology company. We are a services company. And all our services have the ability to generate revenue. So we are a revenue-driven company, a growth company, with all the infrastructure and the foundation to be very successful in the future.
Well, thank you very, very much for your time today. Really enjoyed listening to you. And the very, very best of luck for next year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.